Amen. Please have a seat and let's pray together. Lord, you are holy, you are mighty, you are worthy of our praise. Those of us who know you are so thankful. You've taken us from darkness. Because of your great mercy, and you have brought us into your marvelous light, and we are so thankful. So that's why we sing to you. We give you praise because of who you are, what you've done in our lives, Lord. As we look at your word today about sharing our story, different examples of what you've given us through your word, I pray that you would speak to us, remind us, empower us to go and share the story. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Pastor Tom read the scripture from 1 Peter. Remind us, last week we talked about, because of the hope that is within us, he calls us his holy nation. We are a people of his own possession because of his great mercy for us. And when people see the hope that is within us, we should be ready to share the hope, which is Jesus. Last week was really the charge. We're to proclaim his excellencies, but we're also to be a display of his excellencies. When we do that, then we have a chance to share about the story of a changed life. Before I knew Christ, I was like this, and since Christ has come into my life, I'm different. I'm a different person. Before and after. Don't we love stories about before and after? HGTV, Chip and Joanna Gaines, Fixer Upper. We love that stuff. And that was so popular. Now they have like 7 shows exactly like it, but with different people. Because people love to hear stories of something that was broken. And they go in and they restore it to make it a whole new thing. Christ has done that in our lives. We love to tell stories. Jesus told a lot of stories. He told stories about great banquets, to stories about mustard seeds. He told stories about trees that are full of fruit, to missing sheep, to lost coins. He told stories that resonated with people's lives. A business owner needed some work to be done, and so he hired laborers, right? Or a good shepherd that cares and has a passion for his sheep. Talk about a shrewd manager, a persistent widow. And all these stories, they point to the kingdom of God, to God's greater story. And as people are hearing these words, these stories of Jesus, they're thinking, man, I might be able to fit into that greater story of God, that I can be found like a lost coin, that I can be cared for by a good shepherd, that all my deepest needs can be met like the widow's. Anyone can be healed. Anyone can be transformed because of what Christ has done on the cross for us. We share our story. We share our story. The good news of the gospel about this, his transforming life, the old is gone. And the new has come in Christ. There's a contrast. There's a before I knew Christ and there's an after. They're talking about the difference that Christ has made in our life. The hope that is in you. We talk about before. Christ came to us as well and we're a different person. Let's say a friend of yours comes out and they're just so excited about this diet program they're on. It's the Yosemite diet program. And they're talking all about it, and you know, there's cabbage and kale, and you got banana quiche and celery toast, and you're like, oh wow. What do you want to know? What were you like before? How much did you weigh? What was your body fat? And since being on this diet, do you have less of that than you do now? And do you have more energy? I mean, that's what you want to know. You want to know, did it change you? And how? Similarly, that someone talks about a counselor they're seeing. Man, this counselor has been so good for me. It's made such a difference. And you want to know, you know, what were some of the things of why you started seeing this counselor in the first place. And since seeing this counselor, are these situations different now? You know, what's been the change? What was the before? What was the after? We want to know those things. People want to know. They'll ask you about the hope that you have in you because of what Christ has done in your life. I haven't always been this way. I haven't always been this way. But Christ has changed me. Here's who I once was, and I've changed before and after. We remember John 9, the blind man. I once was blind, but now I see. Zacchaeus in Luke 19, he was this wealthy tax collector. He was, you know, money hungry, he was greedy, and Jesus comes to him. I want to have a meal with you. So Zacchaeus has this meal with Jesus, and something happened. Anyone that has an encounter with Jesus becomes a changed person. And so after this meal, he gives back the money, and then he gives half of his wealth to the poor. You think of some people that knew him were like, Zach, what happened? You won't believe it. It was unbelievable. It was this crazy thing. Jesus changed me. I used to have such a stronghold on greed in my life. All I want was, I just wanted more and more and more. And I was never fulfilled. Actually, because of it, I ruined a lot of my relationships. But Jesus came to me. And he changed me. He has changed my heart. Now I have such different desires. He's taught me how to care for other people, especially the poor. How many times do you think Zacchaeus was able to tell that story? It was amazing. It's transformation. John 4, we see something similar with the Samaritan woman. Remember, she's the one that went to draw water when no one else was around because of her past. Married 5 times, living with a guy who's not her husband. Once again, Jesus goes to her. Says, what you're thirsting for is living water. I am the Christ. I am the Messiah. Jesus changes her with his words. And the amazing thing is she's changed. I want to read, you know, what's the response of when this woman is changed by Jesus? What does she do? So I'm going to read a couple of verses from John 4, starting with verse 28. Then leaving her jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come, you have to see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Jesus started telling, you got to see this. You won't believe it. And then it goes on, verse 39, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. Doesn't stop there. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed 2 days. And then because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. The testimony is which got them to be interested and directed to Christ, and then the gospel. It's got to be both. That's why next week we'll talk about articulating the gospel. Today it's we share our testimony. We are transformed. We're changed because of what Christ did. It's only Christ. And then we're able to tell the gospel in a clear and compelling way. If you have your Bibles, open to Acts 26. When most people think of the best example in Scripture about telling your story about before and how you came to Christ and after, it's Acts 26. It's the Apostle Paul. He was drastically changed. drastically changed. Acts 26, he's on trial before the authorities, and whether or not he blasphemed the Jewish religion. So he's on trial before King Agrippa, and what does he do? Shares a story, which is pretty interesting. We'll get into that. He just talks about his story, the hope that is within him. And he begins with who he was before he met Christ. Acts 26, verse 4. The Jewish people all know the way I have lived ever since I was a child. From the beginning of my life in my own country and also in Jerusalem, they have known me for a long time and can testify, if they are willing, that I conform to the strictest sect of our religion, living as a Pharisee. And now it is because of my hope and what God has promised our ancestors that I am on trial today. So here's how I grew up. This is how I lived. And what did that mean? Verse 9, let's continue. I too was convinced that I ought to do all that is possible to oppose the name of Jesus Christ, Nazareth. And that is just what I did in Jerusalem. On the authority of the chief priest, I put many of the Lord's people in prison. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. Many a time I went from one synagogue to another to have them punished. And I tried to force them to blaspheme. I was so obsessed with persecuting them that I even hunted them down in foreign cities. Paul standing before the king who could execute him at any moment, and he basically tells him why he's on trial. This is who I was. This is what I did. I used to execute Christians. Pulled them away. I ordered their execution. Which, if you've been in a courtroom or if you've watched some court scenes on TV or movies, this isn't usually what the defendants do. It's not like, you didn't even ask, but I'm going to tell you everything I did. You know, I mean, it's like, here's what I did. Look how bad I used to be. I executed people. I stood there and I conformed to this, and I gave my stamp to make it happen. But he talked about who he was before Christ. He talked about it. We remember, we talk about our life before we knew Christ. What was that like? We remember that all fallen short of the glory of God. And we share that with people. It wasn't always like this. Gosh, if you knew me back then. It's a saying that says the ground is level at the foot of the cross. I think sometimes we get in our minds, or our people perceive us as greater than, or more holier than they may be. We need to remind them, I needed grace just like you do. I needed grace just like everyone does. I was a horrible person. Paul talks about a sin, but he doesn't just linger in it. He doesn't just stay there for a long time. He's specific. He doesn't bypass it, but he doesn't just stay there either. He shares it for what it is. And then after sharing about, here's who I was before Christ, he gets into this place, and I had this encounter with Christ. It picks up in verse 12. On one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priest. It was about noon as I was on the road. I saw a light from heaven. It was brighter than the sun, blazing all around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Then I asked, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, the Lord replied. Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared before you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen and will see of me. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness into light. From the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and place and have a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. This is Paul's Romans 5:8 moment. While he was still a sinner, Christ died for him. That's what we do. We share what we were like before Christ, and there's a time in our life where we share a Romans 5:8 moment. When I was still a sinner, when I was still living for myself, my own desires, unfulfilled, Christ came to me. I went to Billy Graham. I got invited to church. A neighbor came and shared. Whatever that may be, we share that Romans 5:8 moment while we were still walking on that road. Paul was on the road to Damascus to persecute more Christians. That's when Christ came to him. When I was on that road of just living for myself, Christ came to me. He opened my eyes. It was an amazing thing. Paul doesn't take credit. It was all about what Christ did. He didn't earn anything. Christ did everything. Christ opened my eyes. He came to me in this moment. Which, by the way, there's no such thing as a boring testimony. I know sometimes we think, I love to share my story, but it's kind of boring. I'd never persecuted Christians. I never robbed a bank. I never, you know, whatever you want to say. And we think it's a boring. What makes a great testimony is not how lost we are, but how powerful Christ is in us. That's what makes a powerful testimony. Who you are now that Christ has gotten a hold of your life. So when we think about Paul, because we've studied Scripture, we know his past. But when I think of the Apostle Paul, it's not like, oh, that's the guy that persecuted Christians. No, I think, man, he wrote most of the New Testament. He went on missionary journeys. Even though he was weak at times, even though shipwrecks, stonings, whippings, and in prison, he had a strength in spite of his weakness. That's the power of Paul's testimony. That's who he is now because God has changed him and God has got a hold of his life. And Paul shares these things. He shares these things. It's an amazing thing. It's because we know when someone comes to Christ, it's a miracle. Only God can take an individual from darkness and transform them into his marvelous light. There is nothing boring about that. You don't need to apologize for having godly parents or growing up in Sunday school. I mean, isn't that what every parent and grandparent wants for their children and their grandchildren? That's a beautiful testimony. You should be proud of that. That's amazing. There's other times we think, you know, because of my past life and some things in my life, I'm too damaged. Who am I? Who am I to be a spokesperson for God? Paul felt that way. Acts 22. Listen to this. Acts 22, verse 19. This is Paul talking. He says, "Lord," I replied, "these people, they know about me. They know when I went from one synagogue to another and to imprison and beat those who believe in you. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I was right there. I stood there giving my approval, guarding the clothes of those who were killing him." Want to know Christ's response? The Lord said to me, "Go. I will send you far away to the Gentiles." I'm damaged. I've transformed your life and you are going to be useful for me. Because of Christ, Paul can stand firm. He can speak boldly. Not out of his own strength, but it was out of the strength because Christ is now in him. It's an amazing thing. We can speak about our life because of Christ. He's changed us. And it's interesting because, actually, I'll get to that in a minute. But here we are. We've got Paul talking about who I was before. Christ came to me and he's changed me. And then here's who I am after my encounter with Christ. Let's pick up on that story in Acts 26, verse 19. So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. First to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem and all Judea, and then to the Gentiles. I preached that they should repent and turn to God and demonstrate the repentance by their deeds. That is why some Jews seized me in the temple courts and tried to kill me. But God has helped me to this very day. So I stand here and I testify so to a small and great alike. I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Messiah would suffer, and as the first would rise from the dead, would bring the message of light to his own people and to the Gentiles. Before, here's what I was like. Christ came to me and it was my Romans 5:8 moment, and now I'm a different person. I'm being used by God. And that's how I speak boldly. That's how I stand in this strength. He's standing in strength, but he also talked several times about his weakness. Anyway, mentioned before about the shipwreck and the prison and stuff, but remember he talked about this thorn in the flesh. He's honest. When he's sharing his story, it's not like I've come to Christ and everything's perfect. No, it's tough. Life is so hard. My life isn't perfect because of Christ. Paul says, I have this thorn in the side I can't get rid of. Please take it away from me. But even if you don't, I'm made powerful in my weakness. Before Christ, temptation, I just gave into it. I was living for myself, my own fulfillment. I still have temptation. I can't lie to the fact just because I have Christ in my life doesn't mean I don't have to. I probably have more temptation now. But he gives me strength. I respond differently to that temptation than I used to. My life isn't perfect, but I have God's strength in me. He's given me a hope, an eternity. He's given me power. And that's an amazing thing. We never graduate from telling our story. It's not like, oh, I told my story once in Sunday school, and it was nice. It was great. Keep telling it. We need to tell our story over and over and over again. We should just never grow tired of telling our story. People need to hear our story. Paul told his story over and over, I would imagine. We see it at least 6 times in the New Testament where he tells his story. And usually it comes in, here's who I was like before Christ, here's how Christ came to me, and here's how I'm different. I want to show a couple. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. This is his before knowing Christ. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God. I tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age and among the people who was extremely zealous for the tradition of my fathers. That was before I knew Christ. Here's how Christ came and got a hold of me and got my attention. Verse 15, but, this is who I was, but when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me. In that second part of verse 16, therefore, because of what Christ has done in my life, so that I might preach him among the Gentiles. That's who I am now. That's, in just a few verses, my before, how I met Christ, and now I'm being useful for Him. Let's look at another one. 1 Timothy. Same person. He loves telling a story. Timothy probably already knew his story, but hey, Timothy, I'm writing a letter. Let me remind you. Here's who I was. Christ came. That's the gospel. Paul loved the gospel. 1 Timothy, chapter 1. And the before here is in verses 13 and 15. Even though I once was a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man. Does Paul repeat himself a lot? Acts, and I'm going to give some other references. It's okay to repeat ourselves. This is our story. Anyway, I was just thinking about that. Even when I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. Verse 15. Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. This is who I was. How did Christ come to me? Let's look at verse 14. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Therefore, and it comes first in verse 12, but he says, because of this, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me the strength. He has considered me trustworthy, appointing me into His service. Before I knew Christ, Christ changed me, and Christ wants me to be useful for Him. I'm a changed person. We need to share those stories. Paul does it other places. You might want to write these down. What a great thing to do on a Sunday afternoon or this week while you're in your devotion time. One of the things I love about this church is your theology is great. A lot of you are so well steeped in the Scripture. It's awesome. I would love it. Maybe you take 1 week, less on just knowledge about who God is. We still need that. But just looking at how can you, like Paul, maybe pattern, how can I do this like Paul to learn how he has done it? And I want to do this in my life. Here's some scriptures to be able to do that in your devotional time. Galatians 1, 13 through 16. 1 Corinthians 15, 9 through 10. Acts 22, 3 through 5. Then 6 through 11. And then 12 through 21. Philippians 3, 4 through 17. And then we have what I just read, 1 Timothy 1, 12 through 15. Paul gives us an example. Why wouldn't we want to do this the same, telling our story like Paul does? That's what we do. We tell our story. Paul did it over and over again. D.L. Moody said this, out of 100 people, one will read their Bible. 99 will read the Christian. Think about that with the Samaritan woman. The Samaritan woman heard straight from the source Christ's words. The other 99 from the town was watching and saw the Samaritan woman. They were drawn to Jesus because of her testimony. Before I knew Christ, this is what I was like. Christ came and he opened my eyes, and this is kind of the things that went in with that, and I'm a changed person. I'm useful to God. I have hope. Some of you, maybe you grew up in the church, started following Christ, 5 years old, which is great, and some have wandered away from the faith at times in their life. I know some people say, I grew up in the church, and it was great, but when I was in college, I just really was straying away from God. And once again, I was living for myself. I was just about my own pleasure and not about God's. But Christ got a hold of me. I went to a thing called Campus Crusade for Christ Crew. And I got into His Word and He changed me. And that, here's how I'm different now. I mean, what a great story that is. We need to start engaging and telling our story. That we are useful and God wants to use us. He wants to use people to reach His people. And really, all we are is just broken jars of clay, right? That He wants to use. That we have scars, that we have brokenness, that we have a past. We're not bragging about those things. But He does want to shine through those things. There's a Japanese art form, it's called kintsugi. And I think there's some pictures that will come on to the screen. It's called kintsugi. And I want to read a description of what this is, because it really parallels what we're talking about this morning, what Christ has done in our life. Listen to this. Kintsugi is a Japanese art form where the Japanese take a broken piece of pottery and they repair it. They believe that these flawed vessels that have been repaired are useful. In fact, they think they are beautiful. The beauty shines through where there was once brokenness. Does that sound familiar? Beauty shines through where there was once brokenness. It's true that a piece has been restored for usefulness, but there's something great going on because of the object. It has a history. A history, yes, of how it was broken, but now it has a story of who has restored it. The history speaks of a repairman, a creator, an artist who has put the broken pieces back together. In this art form, the repairman leaves his mark on the pottery in such a distinct fashion that the pottery is no longer recognized by where it had come from or what was wrong with it, but the pottery is now recognized by him who restored it. Does that sound familiar? Christ, we are the hope of glory. Christ in us, our brokenness, doesn't make us any less useful. It actually makes us beautiful. They say when people look at this art, their eye actually is drawn to where it's broken. But they see beauty, they don't see brokenness. Isn't that our life? That when Christ transforms us and He heals us, that He shines through. That's when people say, there's a hope in you. What is the hope that you have? It's Christ in us that they see. In kintsugi, they believe the real art is what others see in the pottery. See, the vessel itself, in this instance, has trouble recognizing its own beauty. Others do not. You may think you have a boring story. 1 Peter, when we live out the gospel with good deeds, they're going to take note and want to glorify God in heaven. They're going to wonder about the hope that is within you. You may not even see it, but there's something in you because it's Christ giving you strength and living in you that they're going to take note and they're going to see it as beautiful. And they're going to say, there's something in you that I want and maybe I can be fixed by this repairman, this artist, this creator as well. Let's not hold that back from people. That they can be changed to have a past and an encounter with Christ and their life can be changed. That's what we're called to do. That's what we're called to do. I think we all need to practice our story. When someone asks you about the hope, are you just ready to start talking about it? Like Paul was. Like he's just writing this letter and it just comes out. I think we need to do some homework and write it down. Write it down. I'm going to share on the website a tool that I think would help you to do this. It's just asking some questions, walking through the same scriptures. And it adds a piece. It talks about creation, fall, redemption, and restoration. The beauty of the gospel. But I think we need to take some time and Be prepared. When someone asks, I mean, we'll talk about the gospel next, but we need to share our story. Can we do that in 30 seconds? Can we do that in 2 minutes? Can we do that in 10 minutes? I think we need to be prepared for all those times. And I'm going to share that tool. I'll email out the link as well. But just like anything, when you start sharing and reading your story, it's a little awkward. It takes some work. If you've ever been in a musical or a play, and you know, when they pick all the different characters and who the people are, what do the first rehearsals look like? It's called a read-through. And it's awkward. It's like, John came over and he said, hi. I mean, it's just awkward, and it's like, wow, this is going to be horrible. But the more you read it, then they start to feel and become the character. Not that we need to be acting, but you get familiar with your own story, that you're able to, when someone asks you about the hope, you say, hey, let me tell you, this wasn't what, I mean, you can just tell it in 3 minutes because you rehearsed it, you've written it down. I think God wants to use each of us, but he also wants us to do some work to be prepared, to be able to do these things. And like I said, we'll talk about, we should be able to clearly and compellingly share the gospel as well. Let's pray together. Lord, I'm grateful. We are a grateful people who, I pray that we would never be bored of the gospel. Never would time go by where we wouldn't be grateful for what you've done in our lives. And sometimes it just becomes who we are now, which we're grateful for, but we forget there's people that don't know. They don't have the hope. They don't have the peace. Lord, you want to use us. Pray that you would give us opportunities, Lord God. Help us stay connected to you who is the true vine, and you would empower us and embolden us to go and share and be. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you would stand with us for one final song.